And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's how it ends tonight. For the first time since 2015, the Yankees have swept a three-game series at Fenway. They assume the outright lead in the American League wildcard race after a 6-3 victory tonight.
You still feel good about your chances if you're in Yankee Stadium a week from Tuesday?
100%. 100%. We went there in 18 after we got beat here and the sky was falling here in Boston. And everybody gave up on us and going into there, and you saw what happened. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we would love to play here, you know, if we make it, that wild card game. But there's a lot of guys in there that they've been very successful over there too, you know. And, you know, the same way they came here and they play good baseball, we can do the same thing over there.
All right, there you go. We played that for you last night on the Baseball Hour. So you're probably saying that's how we began the show last night, in fact. So you're probably saying to yourself, now, why would they play that again? Why would they start Tuesday exactly as they started Monday? And I'm going to tell you here in 1 minute. 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Hour. It is a Tuesday and no rescheduling this week, I should say. So Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports will join us in the next segment. We'll get his assessment of where the Red Sox are. And more importantly, where the Red Sox are coming from and where they're going, because that is really that's really what the issue is this week. So again, 617-779-0985. You heard Alex Cora say right there, next Tuesday, if they're in New York for the wild card game, does he believe that the Red Sox can win in New York? Cora says 100%. I said last night, well, if that's the case, then why did you put so much emphasis on being able to win and hold home field for the wild card game entering the Yankees series? The point being, the Red Sox will change the argument to fit whatever their needs are at that moment, when the reality is they'd be better served to play that game at Fenway Park. End of story. However, if you look at the wild card standings, incredibly, there is every chance that that series did no damage to the Red Sox, no lasting damage to the Red Sox. Here are your wild card standings entering tonight. The Yankees are up one on Boston, who is one up on Toronto. The teams play starting again tonight. Six games to go in the regular season. It'll all be over on late Sunday afternoon. Tonight in Toronto, the Yankees and Toronto play the opener of a three-game series. Someone north of the border will lose at least two games in the next three nights. If the Red Sox win two out of three, they will gain two games on either, or they will gain a game, a minimum of a game on Boston or New York. If they sweep, they're going to gain on everybody, and they cleaned up on the Orioles the last time they played Baltimore. How about this? ESPN standings. They list a chances of making the playoffs. Okay, they list a percentage of making the playoffs for the three teams in the American League East. The Yankees right now lead the wild card race, and yet the Red Sox, according to ESPN, have the best odds of making the playoffs. And this is largely because New York and Toronto are going head-to-head. So the point being, even after the weekend sweep, you tell me, as a fan, do you believe that the Red Sox really, that no damage was done at all to them in that series? Do you believe in this math? Because this is what the analytics people believe.
You can believe in the math. I mean, and there's, I think you are almost even going to be pulling for the Yankees during the series, right? Because they can drag the Red Sox in if they take two out of three by Toronto. And, you know, all they got to do is take two out of three here against Baltimore. So the math works out in their favor. Yeah, and these terrible teams are playing with Baltimore, Washington. But I don't know how you're not scarred from this series, that you have to play this wild card game against New York next week. They look like they own your ass right now.
Okay, again, and since the trading deadline, Murray, the Yankees and the Red Sox have played six head-to-head games. The Yankees have won them all. I actually think, believe it or not, you want Toronto to take two out of three in this series.
Really?
And you want to sweep Baltimore. If that happens, the Red Sox will move back in front of the Yankees.
Okay.
And the Yankees will then be in front of Toronto. So, Murray, let me... And the game,
I guess I'm just saying it in the way that if, like, you don't believe in the Red Sox right now after this past weekend, you pull for the Yankees because, again, they can drag the Red Sox in even if the Red Sox kind of screw up this series or the one against Washington.
Okay, so there is that possibility, too. Do you think it makes a difference, Murray, to have the game in Boston versus New York?
Not with the way the Yankees are playing right now against you, no.
Okay, I think it does, believe it or not. I'd rather have the game here. I would. And again, I'm not telling you the Red Sox can't win in New York, although I completely dismiss Alex Cora's assertion that he feels 100% that they can win the game there. And that doesn't mean he's guaranteeing a win, just that he believes that they can absolutely win there. Of course they can win there. We all know that.
I don't know if it matters. I remember saying to you that Friday before that series, Maz, that there was part of me that felt like maybe it's a benefit to the Yankees right now that they were playing that in Fenway. There's less pressure on them with the way that they've played all season. I don't think that Yankee fan base believes in them. The team has been hot and cold for the most part of the season. If they were home, it felt like there was going to be more pressure on them. They come here, they rake. Giancarlo Stanton looks like Stanton of 5-6 years ago. You know, like I felt like they were better off playing that series at Fenway, and it did play out that way.
No, not at all. In fact, and look, Giancarlo Stanton at Fenway Park, when he's swinging the bat like he is terrifying. Although, frankly, it doesn't really matter the ballpark with him. He hits the ball so freaking far that when he's locked in, he'll hit it out anywhere. So, but the point at the end of the day is this. After that hellacious weekend at Fenway Park, if the Red Sox just take care of business against the Baltimore Orioles here over the next few nights, if they just do that, there's every chance that the wild card game could be right back here in Boston 1 week from tonight. 1 week from tonight, despite that beating that they took at the hands of the Yankees at Fenway over the weekend. So maybe you're in Murray's camp, and this is a question for you out there. As you look at it, if the game is back here next week and it's New York, do you feel good about it, or do you feel like it's hopeless no matter what? You feel this team's getting bounced, or do you feel like there's a chance that if the game's here, they could win, or do you feel if the game's in New York, they could win? I guess what I'm asking ultimately is the ramifications of the weekend series with New York. On paper, if you go by the math, ESPN still has the Red Sox as the favorite to make the playoffs, which suggests that the game will be here next week. But after the weekend, does that even make a difference to you? I'm eager to see how people feel. Again, the Red Sox playoff chances at 86%, according to ESPN. The Yankees at 80.
Just real quick, though.
Which makes no sense whatsoever based on what we just saw.
But so it's 6-0 since the All-Star break, but just based on this last series. So going into that wild card game, I know you and Carrabba said last week, who do you want to start in that game? Well, it's Eovaldi. Well, Eovaldi gets shelled in that first game, so
correct,
you lose confidence there. Do you see how that bullpen performed and how they were shook in those eighth innings on Saturday and Sunday night? You don't have Garrett Whitlock, and he may not return. I know you said you think he's done for the year. I just think that weekend series cuts deep. I really do.
No, go ahead, Murray.
Okay, so again, mathematically, yeah, they're going to get in, but I don't know how you feel confident playing the Yankees either there or here in that one game.
Okay, so let me ask you then the additional question to that is, what if it's Toronto? Would you rather play Toronto?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because I think they've been shakier here than between both these teams. I think they've been the shakiest of the three down these last couple of weeks.
And I'll tell you what, here's the other reason to play Toronto. And if you would ask people this not too long ago, we all would have said, I want nothing to do with the Blue Jays because they were so stinking hot. They've cooled off. Their bullpen blows. Their bullpen blows. And one of the big differences in that series last week in Boston between the Red Sox and the Yankees, New York's bullpen's better than yours. And so that game on Saturday, we illustrated it. Again, the Red Sox went Houck. Then they went Darwin's and Hernandez. And then after that was Brazier. Meanwhile, the Yankees had Severino and Aroldis Chapman throwing between 95 and 100 at you. And neither one of those guys throws as hard as he used to. But you get the idea. I'll take a call or two here. We'll have Carrabba's join us momentarily. Mike is on the pike. Mike, go ahead.
Man, all I can tell you is I ordered my yellow Boston Red Sox sales jersey Thursday. Came in today. I threw in the bottom of the friggin' closet, pulled out my Marchand jersey. It's over. It reminds me, remember a few, maybe five or six Julys ago, there was that crazy five-game series with the Yankees. They lost all of them. They went down faster than a Fanuc with cement shoes. It's over. It's over. That's
okay. Yeah, so look, I remember the year, Mike. I remember the year. I think that was either 05 or 06. It was one of those seasons where that was the year the Yankees picked up Bobby Abreu at the trade deadline. I don't know if a lot of people remember this. David Wells was pitching for the Red Sox, so I think it was 06. What a disaster that was. Bobby Abreu came to bat, like, I don't know, in the five-game series 22 times and got on base like 15 of them. It was the Red Sox had absolutely mauled in that series, and that was the official, the unofficial end of their season that year. So this series did have that kind of feel to it. And look, it was a debacle. all the way across. And if I, if there's any one thing that has been consistent with the last six games against New York, the Red Sox haven't scored. I think it's something like 14 runs in the six games. I'd have to go back and double check, but they're 0-6 and they haven't scored. The Yankees have shut them down. Dean in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Dean.
Hey, I'd rather face the Yankees than Toronto. Not to go all Jared Karrabis on you, but the Toronto has a much better run differential. The last few weeks is just too small a sample size to really judge the teams. That series had me shook, but I'd still rather face the Yankees than Toronto.
Okay, Dean, do you think it matters playing them here or in New York?
I definitely do. You got all those. Now you got Rizzo. And is Giancarlo Stanton a lefty or righty?
He's right-handed, yeah. But he can hit it out of anywhere. And again, the idea that you would bring Rizzo and Gallo into play in New York, there's some truth to that. I would say more Rizzo than Gallo. Again, Gallo's power is big. Okay, Gallo's got big power. So if he gets a hold of one and he pulls it, it's out of any ballpark. I don't think that that one's a huge factor. Although certainly a fly ball at Fenway might be a home run in New York if you don't catch hold of one. I suppose that's really what the issue is. But according to ESPN, the Red Sox are still the best chance to bet on in the American League, despite what we saw over the weekend. Do you agree? More importantly, does Jared Karrabis of Barstool Sports, one of the most loyal Red Sox fans you'll find, does Jared Karrabis agree? We'll ask him when he joins us next on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, here's Stanton with the bases loaded.
There was a little tension here, to say the least.
Swing a high fly ball. He hits this one a mile.
Oh, my God.
Stanton with a grand slam.
You almost don't know what to say. You do that, you deserve to give up a slam when you have all those walks, a hit. I mean, that's what happens. You can't live in it that long, and they didn't.
Can't tempt it that many times.
You cannot with a guy like this.
Big weekend for Giancarlo Stanton, obviously. Three home runs, 10 RBI. We'll give you that stat again just because it's so good. Three home runs, 10 RBI in a series at Fenway Park as an opponent. Three players before the weekend. Ruth, Gehrig, Mantle. Talk about a trio. Now Giancarlo Stanton. It was that kind of weekend. Bring back all that history. Jared Karrabis joins us now. The Red Sox in focus with Jared Karrabis, presented by I Promise, the official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Live in focus. Visit iPromise.com today, and that's EYEPromise.com. If you use the code MAZ, you get 50% off your first order. So, Jared, here's the obvious question for you. Sunday night. Sunday night, tell me how you felt when you went to bed.
My first thought, Tony, was that series by Giancarlo Stanton was real cute, but Nomar did it in one game.
I was there that night. We had grand slam and two, three run homers.
It was his birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he had three home runs that night. A grand slam and 2-3 run jobs. But it might even been two. Anyway, whatever. How did you feel when you went to bed Sunday night?
To be honest, I went to bed at 3 a.m. because we still had to do the podcast after the game. We did a live stream. And so I'm sitting in this room with Yankee fans who are celebrating in my face. But I really didn't feel as bad as I thought I was going to. I feel like I felt way worse earlier in the last sweep, the one at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, after the trade deadline. Yep.
Yeah, I felt way worse after that one because it just felt like the Yankees were going to take off and they were going to win the division. And now we just know that it's a neck and neck race to see who's hosting the wild card game. And then you mix in the Jays, you mix in the Mariners. I didn't feel as bad. I wanted to win one. I didn't care if the Red Sox lost the series. I just wanted to win one because then you can kind of control your destiny the rest of the way. You're playing two last place teams over the final six games of the season. Did not care about losing the first two. Wanted to win on Sunday. That was it. And when you don't win that game, is it the end of the world? No. You just made it a lot harder on yourself. And I think, you know, Big Jim Murray said, they're still going to get in. Like, mathematically, you're still going to get in. But it feels to me like you had to have Sunday and you didn't want to give them the confidence of a sweep if that's the team that you're going to have to play in a one game wild card.
Okay. So is it really about the last thing, Jared? Because when you look at it again, the Yankees are going to probably lose in the next 3 days. If the Red Sox and look, I'm not telling you I feel this way. I'm just trying to give you the math because we all saw what happened over the weekend. But if you go by the math, the analytics, ESPN's standings list the Red Sox as having an 86% playoff chance. The Yankees are at 80, which means that because of the head-to-head games, that the Red Sox chances of making it are actually better, which means the Red Sox chances of finishing first are actually better. They kind of go hand in hand because the Red Sox are going to, rather the Yankees and Blue Jays have to play head to head over the next 3 days. So is it possible that we all missed it and that there's no real damage that is going to be done if the Red Sox just take care of business from here? Or is the psychological part of it a significant thing for you?
I don't think it's significant for me, but it's definitely, it's a factor. It's definitely a factor, especially, and I heard you guys talking about, you know, do you have less confidence now in Nathan Eovaldi being the wild card game starter? I don't think that it's a matter of you have less confidence to the point where you would consider giving the ball to someone else, but it doesn't make you feel great. A, that they saw the ball decently enough against him, and B, that it was so recent. I think, you know, if it, like kind of how you finished your season series with Toronto like a month ago, if the last time that Nathan Eovaldi pitched against the Blue Jays, they roughed him up for 8 earned runs, but it's been about a month and a half since the last time they've seen him. You feel better about throwing Nate out there, even though the last time he pitched against him, it didn't go so great. I mean, there'll be about a week and a half, not even, in between the last time that Eovaldi pitched against the Yankees and the wild card game. So that is something that I do kind of factor in and consider, but not enough to where I would consider not starting Nathan Eovaldi.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you, Jared, and let me cut you off, because I think the last time we spoke, I said to you, if you have to pitch someone in the wild card game, who's it going to be? And I think you and I both said Eovaldi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just say that hypothetically, the Red Sox can actually hold out sale this weekend because they've already clinched, independent of where the game is, whether the game is going to be in Boston or New York, they've clinched a wild card spot, and they're going to play New York. Would you still go with Eovaldi over Sale?
I think location matters. Like
explain that. You mean if the game's in Boston, you would pitch who?
If the game's in Boston, I think I feel better about Sale. I think in 2019, I remember the Yankees really roughed up Chris Sale, and he's also had some really great games, but 2018 is a long time ago now. I feel better about Sale in Boston, and I feel better about Eovaldi in New York.
Okay, so you would flip it. You would actually pitch the right-hander in New York and the left-hander in Boston and bring the short field in and play in both of them.
We talked about this either last week or the week before, but people forget that Nathan Eovaldi was the pitcher in the game that they won 16-1 in Yankee Stadium, and he dominated. And then no one remembers that because they scored 16 runs, and it was the worst loss in Yankee postseason history. But Nathan Eovaldi has pitched in Yankee Stadium and pitched well in the postseason, and that's about the most that I have to go on, because there are splits that would tell you that Eovaldi does pitch better at Fenway Park. And, you know, you can look at the lefty-righty matchup with Chris Sale and how the ballpark would factor in there. I think, like, who stands to benefit the most from getting fired up at Fenway Park? I think that's Chris Sale. who has the postseason pedigree of going into Yankee Stadium and dominating in the postseason before? Well, Nathan Eovaldi's done that. So that's really as simple as my line of thinking goes.
Okay, so Jared, let me paint another scenario for you. Because one of the fact, this is a great race. I know, again, I know, you know, baseball's not what it used to be. It's certainly not in this market what it used to be. But you have three teams vying for two spots, all basically within a game of one another. The Yankees are two up on Toronto. But, again, New York's one up on Boston. Boston's one up on Toronto. New York and Toronto are playing each other the next 3 days.
And Seattle's a half game back of Toronto.
Okay, so this whole thing is, it's absolutely jammed in there. And Seattle's a half game back, but they are one back in the loss column, right? So they're you know, they're three back from that top spot. I don't want to eliminate Seattle, but I think for them to get in there, it's going to take, you know, some sort of crazy development. Now, that said, the last time we spoke, I think you said you'd rather play New York than Toronto because of the, you know, the sheer power of that Jays lineup and the potency of that Jays lineup. Has your opinion changed?
No.
You'd still rather play the Yankees than Toronto, despite what happened over the weekend?
Correct. Yeah.
Why?
First of all, tell me where we're like, I don't want to play. I mean, you don't want to play either team on the road. Obviously the Yankees have shown you the last weekend that playing at Fenway Park is no obstacle for them either.
Correct.
But in terms of the competition, you can pitch to that Yankee lineup. You can. I mean, they've got some dangerous guys.
Agreed.
In that lineup. But there are not a ton of outs anywhere in the Blue Jays lineup. And I know that you said that their bullpen is bad. It is bad. Their Blue Jays bullpen is not great. However, their lineup is so good that if it's 8-0 by the third inning, it doesn't matter how bad their bullpen is. Like, you're dead. You're dead. So you can pitch to this Yankee lineup and you can get around it for one game. I don't trust the Red Sox to be able to navigate that Blue Jays lineup because, you know, you've seen some of these games that they played against them this year. They have blown them out in some of these games that they have played. The Yankees, really, I mean, like even the games that it looked like they were going to run away with one, the Red Sox at least made it close. Like Friday looked like it was going to be a laugher. It ended up being what should have been a save situation if someone would have come in after Chapman. So they at least made it close at the end, but yeah, I'm more, neither team is like, all right, this is a bye to get into the division series. I think it's going to be one of the most stressful games that we've ever witnessed in Red Sox history, but I feel more comfortable navigating the Yankees lineup more so than the Blue Jays lineup.
Yeah, so it's a good point, Jared. I mean, again, the Yankees are hot, and so their lineup looks more formidable than it really is, which, again, if you ask me at the end of the day, I want Eovaldi pitching in that Yankee lineup. I like the idea of Eovaldi being able to attack the, you know, the first base side of the plate against Sanchez, against Stanton, against Judge, against LeMahieu. And then if Rizzo beats me or Gallo beats me, well, you know, tip of the cap, because Rizzo's not the same player he was, and Gallo we know is a strikeout machine. The point being this. The righties in the Yankee lineup scare me more than the lefties. And so I'll take my chances with Eovaldi in that ball game. And so, you know, I asked Murray this, that Toronto bullpen is weak. But that Yankee lineup, if they cool off, they're frankly, they're easy to pitch to. Before we let you go, just one takeaway from the weekend that bothered you the most. What bothered you the most from the weekend with New York?
The Red Sox bullpen, knowing that that feeling of going into the late innings, having it be a tight ball game, knowing that there's no way that this score is going to hold up, knowing that the amount of runs that you've scored, there's no way that's enough, having the lead, like having the lead and almost feeling like you're still losing the game, that bothered me the most.
Okay, is there any way that gets fixed by next week?
I saw you think that Garrett Whitlock's not coming back this year.
Well, I said that last week, but apparently he has started playing catch again, right?
Okay. Yeah. If that's the case, then I feel a lot better about it. Yeah. I don't think that there's enough time to feel better about that. There really isn't. But I also kind of go back to 2018 when that was another Achilles heel of the Boston Red Sox. Everyone was like, well, their bullpen's nothing. And I don't know who fired up the video, but before they started the postseason in 2018, they called the relievers into a room and showed them video of all of them dominating. And then they were like, they think that you're the reason why we're not going to win a championship this year. That's all I got to say to you guys. And then walked out of the room.
Well, my guess is it was Cora. That sounds like a Cora.
Could have been.
Yeah, that sounds like
been.
A Cora.
Could have been.
Jared, just quick, are you guys doing the live streams like for the rest of the big games going forward?
So we might have a live show at Kowloon for the wild card game.
Oh,
it's pretty much all set up besides, like, Dave has the final say on if he's going to drag me to New York for a stream or not. But if Dave allows the live show to happen, then we're going to have the live show. And if Dave says that I have to go to New York, then I'll reluctantly have to go to New York.
So you might do that where? The Kowloon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Murray, maybe we'll go to that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. We might. If you're here, we may have to show up for that, especially if you're buying, you cheap bastard.
I would love to pay for you guys.
All right, there you go. Jared, all right, listen, we'll catch you next week, presuming we have a show. I suppose you never know. There could maybe be no show next week if the Red Sox blow it this week. So, but I'll tell you what, just for superstitious reasons, I'm not going to thank you for being on the program because I think we're going to talk. I think we're going to talk to you again next week.
Can't wait, Tony.
All right,
can't
there you go. Jared Karabas, Barstool Sports. The scenario of the Red Sox not playing at all next week is still very much alive, by the way. And there is something about this Orioles series that should concern you. I'll tell you what that is after Murray gets your...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Caught up on headlines.
The show where it's always a full count.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. The Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2-2 to Lindor. Hot shot. Iglesias with a stab. Oh, big Red Sox turn the double play. That's a dandy. Do it, Iggy. Do it, Iggy. What a pretty double play ball. It's stung by Lindor. What a pick. He stayed with it. Iglesias flips the bogey. They turn it off. Turn it over. What a play by Iglesias.
With some style.
Oh, he's got a lot of style in him. Now he's styling it second instead of short.
I think everybody understands by now that Iglesias will be unavailable for postseason play because the deal was made so late.
What a shame, huh?
It's a shame because he is picking it and he's swinging the bat.
He really is.
That was a little more than a week ago. Jose Iglesias had a stretch there over a span of a couple of days where he turned a couple of slick double plays. Been a real addition for the Red Sox here down the stretch. And I bring that up because we're in the final week now. Iglesias is not eligible for the postseason. The Red Sox have some decisions to make. And one of them concerns second base. And this relates to why I wouldn't necessarily count your chickens if you're a Red Sox fan as it relates to them getting in here. Again, they have an easy schedule the final week. 3 with Baltimore, 3 with Washington. The Yankees and Toronto start a 3-game series tonight, so you're going to gain on somebody here in the next 3 days, as long as you don't get swept. And you can really gain on everybody if you take care of business. So before the game tonight, Alex Cora was asked about Christian Arroyo, who I thought was going to be in the lineup. Okay, apparently now it's Jose Iglesias, so I wonder if something happened there. But let me tell you first what Cora said when asked by Sean McAdam about Christian Arroyo getting in the lineup and playing second base. Here was that answer.
Yeah, I mean, today I think it was more about who we're facing, right? He's put good at-bats against him, and we feel comfortable, you know, in this situation. And obviously, you know, he needs at-bats, right? And it's not like we're going from one end to the other. You know, it's not like playing Pedroia and playing Cora in 07 towards the end. You know, like, I mean, if it was Cora Pedroia early on, then I understand. But, you know, we'll be fine. He's a good defender. He's a good hitter. I think, you know, Iggy has done an amazing job. You know, we can use him in different ways, too, later in the game. But I felt today with the matchup that we have, it's a good one for him. And then we'll see how it goes, you know. I know in Baltimore, most likely we'll face a lot of lefties too. So, let's keep taking it day by day.
Okay, so again, that is what Cora said earlier. Now, looking at the lineup, Iglesias is in there. So I don't know if something happened with Arroyo in the pregame. This is a guy who's injury prone. Who the hell knows what happened there? But it is something to keep an eye on as it relates to second base. Christian Arroyo has not played regularly here for some time. The playoffs are going to be next week, or at least the playoff, the one game. And right now the Red Sox are in, whether they're home or on the road. In all likelihood, again, I go back to those percentages, not that anything's guaranteed, but in all likelihood, they're going to be playing in that one game play-in on Tuesday night. And whether it's against New York or Toronto or in New York and Toronto or Boston, doesn't really matter. You're playing that game. Christian Arroyo is going to have to play second base in that game. So how Cora manages that second base situation is a critical point, which brings me to why the Red Sox are vulnerable in this series against the Orioles, which we'll get to in a second. But I see a couple of you on the line, rather. Jake's in a car, Tony's in Stoneham, so we'll get to them, and then I'll tell you why I'm a little worried about this series. Jake in a car, go ahead.
Yeah, the Yankees lineup got better now with Andujar and Urshela back in it. But I do prefer the wild card game at Fenway, obviously, but I think wherever the setting of the game is, I'd like to see if the Red Sox have a real bounce-back factor, especially from this recent series against the Yanks. And I think they can definitely win it in the Bronx.
Okay, so look, again, I'll tell you, Tony, I'm sorry, Jake, the more I think about it, I want the game in Boston, and I'll tell you what the biggest reason is for me. These Red Sox relievers are going to crap their pants in a big spot. You put them on the mound at Yankee Stadium in game 7-8, inning 7-8 and 9 of a do-or-die game against New York, they will not make it through. They will not make it through if that's the case. So I don't want to deal with that scenario. I don't think their bullpen is good enough to endure that. Now, if you say that, well, then what's the difference? You lose there or you lose in the division series. Agreed. But you know what? I believe in playing it out. Play it out. No matter what round you get bounced in, you're going to have that attitude. Why make the playoffs at all? Because you're going to lose if you're not going to win a championship. So at some point, especially with some of the guys on the Red Sox that maybe have not experienced some big spots, Bobby Dalbec or maybe Garrett Whitlock is pitching by then, you want those guys to experience some of those moments, and maybe they'll be better for it the second time around. It's always better for the organization to go deeper, not shorter. So play it out. But those relievers on the mound trying to get the final 9 outs of a tight game at Yankee Stadium in October, I do not like their chances. I think Tony in Stoneham is on the line. Billy, is he there? Something's a little wonky with my call screener here. Tony, you there?
Hey, there, buddy. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
I agree with you 100%. But I'll tell you what. I was very disappointed with Cora over the weekend. I would never pitch to Stanton in those situations. Even if walking him puts you a run behind, I would not have pitched to him. And because the pitches that we have can't get the guy out. It's like pitching Mr. October or Ted Williams back in the day and Mickey Mantle and those guys. That's how keyed in that guy is. And if you remember the games, I think Dalbec had a two-run homer in one of those games that would have won the game if we had walked Stanton.
Yeah, so, Tony, it was a solo shot. The grand slam put him up 5-2. Dalbec hit one that made it 5-3. So, again, that Dalbec home run to me was relatively meaningless. But they would not have won the game. But the big mistake to me was bringing Hernandez into that game, whether it was to face Stanton or Judge or anybody else. First of all, I'm not bringing in a lefty, but then beyond that, I'm not bringing in Hernandez. The guy can't throw strikes. So you've got a guy on the mound that walks 7 batters per 9 inning. You're bringing him in to face Anthony Rizzo, who will take a walk historically, and also has been better this year against lefties than righties. I'd have gone to Ottavino in that situation. And now Ottavino's a threat to walk someone too, but you have to factor in the control problems of Darwin's and Hernandez in that situation. Again, the guy can't throw strikes, let alone doing it under pressure. So that I did not like. We got a couple more calls, so let me keep taking them here. Bob's in Methuen. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Pure speculation on my part on a situation with Christian Arroyo. I understand why Cora wants to play him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he received a phone call telling him to put Iglesias in the lineup instead, because ownership and management is desperate to make the playoffs.
Okay, so Bob, so you're saying that you think Iglesias is a significant upgrade there?
I think in their eyes, because they are desperate, they have to make the playoffs.
Okay, so I looked at, and this gets back to, the scenario that I wanted to address in this segment, which is don't take it for granted that the Red Sox are going to sweep three in Baltimore, which, first of all, if you've watched this team this year, you wouldn't take for granted anyway. How could you? This team's schizo. They can lose to anybody at any time. Half the time when they're going bad, they have their heads up their asses and they're running the bases poorly. You're not hitting cutoff men, overthrowing bases, just making basic mistakes in the field. That can happen at any time with this team. Here's the other thing you need to factor in. Baltimore's throwing three left-handers in this series. Three. The Red Sox have a much better winning percentage. I shouldn't say much better, but notably better against right-handed starters this year than left-handed starters, which is odd when you look at their lineup, because you would think with Dalbec, Bogarts, Renfro, J.D. Martinez, that their lineup would mash against a left-handed pitching. It hasn't, at least not based on the outcome of the games in terms of the wins and losses. Cora himself even made a comment recently about how we got to get the thing sorted out against lefties. Arroyo was in that lineup tonight initially. Part of the reason is he's 2-for-6 against Bruce Zimmerman, who's starting for the Orioles. Iglesias is now in there. So to me, it's a curious decision, and I'm eager to find out why. I also think it tells you plenty that they played Iglesias against the Yankees. Apparently, they're playing him again tonight. They think Iglesias is a better player than he is, and the defense is important, so they put a premium on that. But the fact that it's somewhere along the line in here, they got to get Arroyo some games because they're going to need him starting next week as Iglesias is ineligible for the postseason.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.